One of President Trump's first moves in office was to enact a federal hiring freeze. It's a down payment on a plan to trim down the federal workforce. Trump's not the first president to do a freeze, but as Jeff Neal, former chief human capital officer for the Homeland Security Department, explains, saying it is one thing, but actually doing it can be something much tougher. He tells Federal News Radio's Eric White about some of the challenges.
Well, I think a lot of people think that cutting the federal workforce is something fairly easy to do. And when you start digging into it, you find that maybe it isn't that easy. You know, for example, when you ask people what they think of cutting the government and how they feel about government, a Pew Research poll a couple of years ago said that people in general, when you ask about the government, have negative views. When you ask about individual agencies like the EPA or like the Department of Defense or like the Postal Service, they actually have very positive views, and in some cases, extremely positive views.
Kind of like Congress, so, how they all everybody always likes their own representative, but they don't like Congress as a whole.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. You would think an institution that has an approval rating of, you know, like 3 wouldn't get reelected so much, but people do like their own member of Congress. And so there are agencies that people think very highly of, and so when you start cutting those agencies, The politicians who do the cutting are very likely to face some real pushback from voters back home. So that's one reason. The other reason is that when you start talking about cutting the government, if you are at the same time talking about growing parts of the government, as the Trump administration and the Congress are, you know, the math doesn't necessarily work. So, for example, President Trump has already said he'd like to increase the size of the Border Patrol by 5,000 employees. He'd like to increase the size of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also in DHS, by 10,000 employees. Secretary Mattis has said he wants to begin a defense buildup, and the Department of Defense also says they want to improve readiness. And when you do those things, if you add more active duty military and you start focusing very heavily on readiness, a lot of the people who contribute to readiness in the Department of Defense are civilian employees in things like naval shipyards or air logistics centers. So all those things tend to add people. So if you start adding up the places where they've talked about adding people and then looking at, okay, what do you have to do to cut the number of federal employees, it would take an enormous cut in the agencies that wouldn't be subject, that wouldn't be growing, to actually have the total number of federal employees shrink dramatically. You know, even if you wanted to just have a 10% reduction in the federal workforce, if you're growing DOD by 5% and you're growing Homeland Security by 5% and holding the VA steady and maybe growing the IRS a little bit, you know, you'd start looking at maybe a 30 to 40% cut in the agencies that are not going to be growing.
Yeah, on that, we're in this enacted hiring freeze, but we just keep on seeing more and more exemptions coming through. At what point does it start to say, all right, are we really in a hiring freeze, or are we just saying that we don't want to hire anybody else, but we kind of do?
The hiring freeze is actually typical of most hiring freezes. Most people, when they decide to freeze hiring, do it so they can get a handle on what's going on. And so it's mainly a pause and reflect type of move. It's not a move that actually results in a thoughtful drawdown of the workforce. So it's a fairly common technique, and it's being used about the way that most of them have been. What's going to have to happen is following that freeze, there's going to be a plan in place to reduce the size of the federal workforce. And I think the devil is in those details and what that plan looks like and which agencies do have to cut and how far they have to cut. So, you know, sometimes you see people do what they call salami slice cuts, where they say, well, everybody takes X percentage. And that's probably the worst possible way to cut, because you end up cutting things that are good and cutting things that are bad. So this one, I think what we have to do is wait and see what the actual reduction plan looks like. And until we see that, I don't think the hiring freeze tells us anything. It just tells us that they want to get a look at what's going on and want some time to put a plan in place. And they do recognize that there are certain things that you just can't stop doing.
We're speaking with Jeff Neal. He's Senior Vice President of ICEF. So a lot of people outside of D.C. hate D.C. because they see it as this giant swamp of federal employees sucking the taxpayers' money dry. What misconceptions do people have about federal employees and the fact that there are actually a lot that are outside of the Beltway?
Well, it's funny because people complain about Washington all the time, but about 15% of the federal workforce, non-postal federal workforce, is in Washington, D.C. And so the rest of them are in other states. So when folks in Ohio say, you know, hey, we want to cut the federal government, you know, they forget that there are probably 70,000 federal employees in Ohio. There are lots of federal employees in Florida and Georgia and California and Colorado. There are a lot of them in Virginia outside of the National Capital Region. So when we start hearing people say they want to cut Washington, Washington isn't where the jobs are. It's where the seat of the government is. But the vast majority of these federal jobs are out across America and in congressional districts where the people who lose their jobs are going to be running to their member of Congress and to their senators and complaining about it. And the Congress historically has not liked seeing jobs cut in their district. You know, they're all in favor of cutting federal employment, and that's they most of them want to do that, but they want to cut federal employment in some other guy's district, not in theirs.
And speaking of Congress, what role does legislation play in this? I mean, if a law says that an agency is tasked with an order to, you know, whether it's implement this program or you know, take another task on from another agency, they're going to need the workforce to accomplish that task, right?
They are. And so what you really are going to find is if you really want to make big reductions in government, the government has to stop doing things. And sometimes Congress is going to have to pass a law that says that they can stop doing something because, you know, the government isn't doing things right now just for the heck of it. They're doing things because they have laws that tell them to do things. They have budgets that say you're going to spend this money to do something, and they can't just stop. So the government is really going to have to look, and Congress will have to participate. And, of course, when Congress has to participate, that does mean that there are, you know, between the House and the Senate, there are 535 points of view on how best to go about doing these things. And as we've seen with all the discussion around repealing the Affordable Care Act, the goal of doing something might be easy to state. The reality of doing it is very different.
Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President of ICEF. So you're the head of an agency. You're told to find some place to cut or find some percentage of your workforce to get rid of. What's the first thing you do?
First thing I would do is start looking at where I have functions that are duplicated across the agency, where you have multiple people doing the same thing. Like, for example, any kind of shared services like human capital services, budget services, accounting, procurement. A lot of those agencies have multiple organizations doing them, and there's been a big move over the last few years towards shared services, and there are real savings that could be had there. I'd also start looking at what I could stop doing. You know, I'm not a fan of going in and cutting. It's what I call the cowardly approach to budget reduction, where you don't actually make hard decisions. You just say, we're going to cut the budget 10% so everybody loses 10. I would go look at the things that we could actually stop doing and say, okay, we're going to take one part of the agency and we're going to staff it at 100%. We're going to take this other part of the agency and we're going to staff it at 0% because we're going to stop doing it. And I think that's really the only way to get to any kind of sizable numbers. Otherwise, what you end up with is a workforce that's overtaxed, that doesn't have the resources to do what the agency is expecting them to do. And you end up with an unhappy, unproductive workforce and not really accomplishing anything significant.
That's Jeff Neal, Senior Vice President of ICEF International, speaking with Federal News Radio's Eric White. Find Jeff's column along with this interview online at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.